Welcome to Kingdom Perspective Broadcast, the teaching ministry of Dr. David Ogaga. We believe that this message is going to open up the seals and cause you to have a deeper revelation into the Word of God that will make you see beyond the letters in the Word. Here is Dr. David.
Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, once again, God, we're here to receive words from you, instructions, revelations, understanding, illumination in the world. We ask, Father, that you cause even our listeners, the God of glory, to be blessed for total edification of that which is to come to them. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we're going to continue with a series on Revelation 14, that is the 144,000. And our text again is still Revelation 14, reading from verse 1. And say, and I look, and lo, a lamb stood on my Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. And then verse 2, which is part of what we're there to dealing with now. And he said, and I had a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and had the voice of a great thunder, and I had the voice of harpers harping with the harps. And last week I tried to explain that when we talk about harp, we're dealing with the issue of joy. And what we can see from this passage is that these ones who are now with this harp, like we said before, they have been able to overcome the beast or the beast system, which you find in Revelation 13, that had the mark of the beast on the forehead and in the right hand. But right here now, we have those who have the mark of the Father or the name of the Father written where in the forehead. And so we're told here that it got harps. And we made it clear last week that the harp speaks of joy, rejoicing, peace, security, etc. Gladness in times of joy, a punishment and maybe in captivity. I tried to explain last week, you find that those in Babylon, they were requiring of them to sing the long song, and they were saying, how can we sing the long song in a strange land? So they hung their harps on the philo because they were in captivity. So if you're in captivity, then the spirit of joy is no longer in your heart. So most times when you lose this spirit, when you begin to see that you don't have joy, you don't have gladness in your heart, then something is wrong. Your spirit is coming to the realm of captivity, to bondage, to either a system or a power. And I think you need to check that. So let's quickly look at Ezekiel 26 verse 13. Ezekiel 26 verse number 13. Praise God. 26:13. And I will cause the noise of thy songs to cease, and the sound of thy harps shall be no more heard. This is when it's taking them to captivity, to bondage, just like they were in Babylon. Okay, Isaiah 24, verse 8 and 9. Isaiah 24, verse 8 and 9. Praise God. He said, the might of timbrets ceaseth, the noise of them that rejoice ended, the joy of the harp ceaseth. Look at verse 9. They shall not drink wine with a song. Strong drink shall be bitter to them that drink it. In other words, absolute rejoicing, absolute peace, gladness is taken away from the heart of these people. Why? This is a sign of punishment. When God is saying this, that means they want to punish those people. And he was saying in relation to Israel. So punishment was going to come to them, and when it happens, this is now what's going to be the outcome. No more joy, no more gladness, no more happiness. Why? They are under punishment, and now they are under captivity. Praise the living God. Therefore, it becomes necessary for those in Mount Zion now, with a lamb, like we are dealing with in verse number 2 of Revelation 14, who have been able to overcome the beastly system, to pick up their harps again to sing the long song. Yeah, as we read in the book of Isaiah chapter 24 now, we find that those people, they no longer have the joy of the Lord, which is supposed to be their strength. And so it's been taken away from them. Why? Because they were under punishment, they were under maybe the Lord have led them into that. A kind of judgment has come unto them, either because of what they've done before now. So, no more joy, no more peace, no more rejoicing. All of this is taken away from them. And I'm saying, when you overcome the beastly system, one of the things that the Lord ministers to you is joy. You know, he tells us that I will joy shall you draw water from the well of salvation, Isaiah 32. And that's very important. You understand that as well. Amen. Okay. So again, we see here, those who have overcome the beastly system, what's the next thing that happened? They pick up their hearts. In other words, you're going to be restored. The spirit of joy be restored to you. Spirit of gladness be restored to you. Why? Because you have overcome the beastly system. Praise God. So when we read, for instance, go to Colossians 3 verse number 16. Colossians 3:16 and then Ephesians 5:9. Colossians 3:16. What did he say? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. Amen. Yeah, these are people who have come, who have received the Spirit of Christ, and this is where it's supposed to be our position. So it's not necessarily taking a physical instrument, but what we say here is that those who have been able to overcome the beastly system, those who have come into Christ, who have received the Christ Spirit, there's a realm of joy and love that flows in your heart. There's always that kind of spirit of gladness that you walk with, like always, at any point in time. Amen. Now, if you're not having that, it simply means that something is clogging your spirit, that you got to check it. Okay, let's read again Ephesians 5 verse 19. Ephesians 5 19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual song, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Amen. So here again we find that those who've been able to overcome the beast, now you are not in Christ, you don't have any of those the beastly system oppressing you, suppressing you. What's the next thing that happened? We have been able to come to the place where we can express the joy of the Lord, which becomes our strength. Hallelujah. We're talking about the liberty that is in Christ, who has redeemed us from the captivity of sin and the deceitfulness of life as expressed in the kind of man. Alright. So again, look at Nehemiah chapter 8 verse 10. Now I want you to take note of this, because this is very, very important. We sing a melody where in your heart. There's a realm you come to where you'll be able to continuously express yourself in songs and rejoicing and gladness. Why? Because of the spirit of liberty of Christ that's within your man. Hallelujah. And this is very, very important for every believer, every one of us that has come to the place of overcoming the beastly system, overcoming the power of sin, overcoming the power of deceitfulness, which is the carnal nature of the Adamic life. As many as been able to cross over, we be able to express rejoicing, that kind of joy. Now, this thing I'm saying is very important you understand it. Because, like we're going to see in Nehemiah 8 verse 10, just keep it there. You see, you'll be able to come to that place where everything that was keeping you bound, no matter what is going on, because of the Spirit of Christ, the liberty of the Spirit of Christ that is in your life, you will not feel it. In the midst of what looks like judgment in a system, you'll still be happy and rejoicing and be glad. You'll be wondering what is the issue, you'll be wondering what is the problem. But that is where you are. People will be looking at you and be wondering, why are you so happy when they are sad? That is the Spirit of Christ. The joy of the Lord has become our strength. Now, if you look at Nehemiah, this is when, after the building of the walls, they build the walls and the people have come back from captivity. They are now, you know, Nehemiah has to come in here, and the Bible says he has to read unto them the laws of God as expressed in the word. So here is what we see here. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy unto our Lord. Now there be a sorrow. What's the next thing he said? For the joy of the Lord is your strength. Praise God, somebody. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Now, what he's trying to make them understand, by the time he read the law to the people, they were so sad, they were very unhappy. And he's trying to make them understand, no, you don't have to be sad. There is something that you need to walk with right now, which is the joy of the Lord. What happened? They discover how they disappointed God. Now, they discover how they felt. You know, they've been able to come into a situation where, you know, because of what they did, they were taken to captivity, so they are kind of regretting what happened. But Nehemiah is saying, no, you don't need to go into that. And that's what actually is supposed to happen. When you read the word of God, you'll be able to see where you are failing. You'll be able to see where the Lord can rebuke you, read through the word. And then you'll be able to express yourself as touching what the Lord is speaking to you from the word. Praise God. So he added that the joy of our Lord, the joy of the Lord is your strength. In other words, you don't need to be sorrowful today. You got to be rejoicing. Why? Because the Lord have delivered us from Babylon and we've been able to build this wall of the city and the temple. There's a time of restoration. Now we just need to be happy without being sad. And that's exactly what he's saying. So how does that apply to us or relate to us? Colossians 1:12-14. Colossians 1:12-14. Praise God. Hallelujah. Remember, all that I'm describing to you is the harp. When he said it's all the people harping with their harps, that's what we're saying. The harp is a symbol of rejoicing. It's a symbol of joy, symbol of may, gladness, and liberty and freedom. And that's exactly what we see here. So now, when we look at Colossians 1:12, it said, giving thanks unto the Father, which had made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. We got to give thanks to God. Why? Because we are inheritors of the saints in light. Now look at the next thing. What's the reason for that? Verse 13. Verse 13 said, who had delivered us from the power of darkness and had translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. This gives us the reason for rejoicing. Amen? Right. For those in captivity in Babylon, by the time they came back home, they were able to rejoice. They were able to play their harps again. And like Nehemiah was telling them, you don't need to be in sorrow. You got to rejoice because you're out of captivity. So for you as a believer, as a child of God, this is one of the reasons why you must rejoice. Why? You've been delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of his dear son. So that liberty that you have through the blood of Jesus is what gives you the spirit of joy. That's what makes you happy. Praise God. All right. And so, Philippians 4:4. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. Now, he didn't say always. Always. Now, I want you to get that. And again, I say what? Rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. In other words, no matter what happens, rejoice. Praise God. You know, it's like what the scripture says, all things work together for good. So no matter what is going on, rejoice. Praise the Lord. And for the point of emphasis, rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say what? Rejoice. Now, you don't forget it. This is Apostle Paul in prison, doing all of this write up and telling people to rejoice. That means even though he was in prison, he was still rejoicing. Hallelujah. Now we can see the spirit working in the life of Paul and Silas. You remember when they were put in jail, and in the night they began to sing right in the jail? Wasn't anything that happened? The chains fell off. So one of the very reasons why we rejoice is that the spirit of joy in your life that you express or exercise in the spirit of Christ can break bonds and break chains and shackles that are keeping you bound. Praise God. So Paul is saying rejoice. And I say what? Rejoice. So what am I saying? I'm saying play your harps always for the kingdom of God, to which you've come to Mount Zion because of righteousness. Hallelujah. Now look at Revelation 14:17. Praise God. Revelation 14 verse number 17.
And another angel came out of the temple,
which is in heaven.
He also having what? A sharp sickle.
Now, this has to do with kind of harvest. Sorry, I would like us to read Romans 14, 17 instead of Revelation 14. Go to Romans 14, 17. Let's take Romans 14, 17. Yeah. So, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but what? Righteousness and peace and joy where? In the Holy Ghost. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's not about what you can put on. It's not about what you can eat. But three factors constitute the kingdom. And that is righteousness, and that is peace and joy in the Holy Ghost.
Praise the living God.
And so here the scripture making us understand that you are in another state, you are in another realm, you are another dimension. Don't forget, Colossians 1 tells will be translated from the power of darkness, and now you are where? Into the kingdom of his dear son. So what are the factors in the kingdom? Right in this kingdom, you have righteousness. Right in this kingdom, you're supposed to have peace. Right in the kingdom, you're supposed to be experiencing joy, which is now you have. Amen. Praise the living God. Now look at verse 18. Let me show you something that was very important. Verse 18. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Hallelujah. Now I want you to get that, because very important. He that is in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. What are those things? Righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. He that in these things serves Christ. Amen. He says acceptable to God and approved of men. So we have to understand that one of the major reasons why we come to the place of rejoicing is the influence of the power of the Holy Spirit. Just like I said before, Paul and Silas, they were in chains, they were in prison, they start singing. What happened? We're made to understand the barriers, the chain, everything that was around them got broken. So the power of rejoicing breaks powers of sicknesses, of diseases, of oppression, of power of the enemy. The power of the spirit of joy flowing from the Holy Spirit in your life. As somebody in the kingdom, it destroys all of those things. There's healing power that flows in just rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, so I need you to get it. Got very important. It's key to all that we are dealing with. Being in the kingdom, we have been set free. We have been delivered. We are no longer under the oppression of Pharaoh. We are no longer under the influence of Satan. We are free people. And by reason of that, we should be happy because of the liberty of the Spirit of Christ that we are now walking with. Hallelujah. And the Bible says when you start walking in this dimension, chains will be falling out, powers be going away. So when Nehemiah was telling the people, Nehemiah 8 verse number 10, the joy of the Lord is our strength, he was just making them understand in a very simple language, you have left Babylon, you are now in Jerusalem. So what is the next thing you are supposed to do? You got to rejoice. When you were in Babylon, you hang up your harp on the millows, you can't sing, you can't rejoice. What they would ask you to? No, you were continuously sad because you were thinking about home. Now you are back home, therefore you need to rejoice. Get back, oh Lord. Now your joy must be strong, and the more you exercise the spirit of joy, the more the powers and the afflictions of the enemy are broken away. We got to understand that. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, but the key I needed to pick here from Romans 14, 17 to 18 is very crucial. There are three things that are very important for every true believer in Christ. And that is the righteousness, the peace, and the joy. Now, you must understand, this righteousness is not what you do. It's the righteousness that comes from the life of God. I've explained it to us here before. Abraham, the Bible says, believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. In other words, he was credited with righteousness because he believed God when he gave him the promise of Isaac. Amen? Right. But for us, we don't have to have righteousness credited to us, but we have righteousness imparted to us. The difference is this. Christ is the righteousness of God. Okay, we're going to come back here. Let's go now to 1 Corinthians 1 verse number 30. We'll come back here. 1 Corinthians 1 verse number 30. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made, did you see that? Unto us what? Wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and what? Redemption. So it's not credited, it is given to us. In other words, he shared his life with us. He is the righteousness of God. Now, because the righteousness of God, he has shared his life with us, we've been made to become. So we share in his life. And then part of your life is what? Righteousness. So unlike Abraham, that had righteousness credited into his account, we have righteousness impacted to us as saints of God. Amen? Right. So in the kingdom, it talks about, go back now to, just go back again to Romans 14, 17 and 18 again. Praise God. So, but the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but what? Righteousness. So what righteousness? The righteousness of God. Now, if you look at Matthew chapter 6, again, reading from verse 10, remember the Bible tells us, seek ye first the kingdom of God and what? His righteousness. And this is very important. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So, we must understand that the kingdom has its own righteousness. Now, when you use the word, you didn't say the kingdom and its righteousness, it's his righteousness. So the kingdom is a person. I mean, the righteousness is a person. And so if you have Christ, that means you have the righteousness of God. Hallelujah. All right. So that's exactly what he's saying here. Then he talks about the peace. This is the peace that passes all understanding. No circumstance, you know, takes away the peace of God from your life. And that's what we need to understand. Paul was saying that. Amen. It tells us that the peace that God will give to us, the peace that passes all understanding. Understanding there speaks of any circumstance that is supposed to make you sad, make you to live in pains, you know. Yes, he said the peace that God gives to you is not the kind of peace that you can get into the world. In fact, he told the disciples, he said the peace that I live with you is not the peace that the world gives it. So the world has its own peace. But the peace that God gives to you is the peace that passes all circumstances. What I mean there is this. I have already been giving this illustration, but let me give it again. He said that Jesus and the disciples were crossing. Remember that. And he was sleeping on the boat. And if you watch closely, he's the one that said we should cross over. And Jesus, being God's omniscient, he knew that the storm was going to come. But he said, let's cross over. And they started moving. Halfway the journey was the next thing that happened. We find out there were heavy storm and all of that that was coming along. And then they were worried. But he was sleeping. So the question is, why was he sleeping with such a storm? Because they had the peace that passed world all understanding. Keep it back again, that romance that we're dealing with. Praise the Lord. He had the peace. What's that peace? The peace that passed all understanding. The storm cannot disturb his peace. The wind will not disturb his peace. Whatever thing, even if water was coming into the boat, that will not disturb his peace. This is the peace that gives you security before God. You understand for one that at least God is there no matter the situation. Hallelujah. That's the kind of peace that you experience being in the kingdom. Then the third thing that you see there is what? Joy. Now all of these things are in the Holy Ghost. So in the true sense, if you have the Holy Spirit, it means you are supposed to have these three factors of the kingdom of God. So the joy is a joy that passes all understanding. I mean, that no circumstance. In Proverbs says that, it says, if you faint in the days of adversity, your strength is small. If you faint in the days of trouble, your strength is small. Now, Nehemiah 8:10 defines what is the strength.
The joy of the Lord is your strength. So if the joy of the Lord is your strength, and you faint in the days of trouble, that means you have a very small amount of what? Of joy of the Lord. Praise God. So this is the joy that keeps you going. It gives you strength. It gives you ability in the midst of situations and circumstances that look very, very unpredictable. You still can help your head up. You still can be walking, like I said, on Sunday. You've got to be looking up to be able to see the rainbow. Anytime there is a dark cloud, somewhere along the line, there is a rainbow. And until you look up, you'll be able to get the rainbow. Amen. Praise the living God. So this is what he said. So he said, the peace, the joy, the righteousness, they are in the Holy Ghost. And then the next thing he said, if you're serving God in these things, in what thing? In the righteousness of God. If you are serving God in the peace of God, that passes all understanding. If you're serving God in the joy of the Lord, then you shall have favor with God and with man. Acceptable to God and approved of men. You be acceptable to God and approved of men. Hallelujah. So one thing is important. We need to strive to get to the place of acceptability before God. So how is that supposed to mean? Having an understanding that we got the righteousness of God. Having an understanding that we have the peace of God within us. Having an understanding that we have the joy of God within our spirit. Amen. Okay. Read with me Revelation 14 verse number 3 from the Amplified Translation. Revelation 14 verse 3, Amplified. Talk about a new song. Hallelujah. And they sing a new song before the throne of God and before the four living creatures and before the elders of the heavenly Sanhedrin. Amen. The Sanhedrin were a set of people that were in charge. If I may use the word, they are the one that among the what they call the Pharisees, they have the group of the Sanhedrin. Amen. Top people that give laws, that give rules, interpret the word, and all that. Then he said, no one could learn to sing that song. And I want you to get this. No one could learn to sing that song except the 144,000 who had been ransomed, purchased, redeemed for where? From the earth. A new song. This is not a song that you learn. No one can. It is a song that is given to us by the Spirit. Can you get the meaning now? It is not something you practice. It's not something, no. It is spontaneous. Amen. It just wells up. It just comes up when you least expect it. In the midst of difficult situations, sometimes in the night, you wake up with a song. It's not a song you learn. It's not a song that maybe, no. It comes up, and every bit of the song that is coming up in such situation has a direct prophetic implication. So you need to study the lyrics of the song that God gives to you when you wake up in the morning. Amen. This is very, very crucial. And I want you to get it. Very, very crucial. You wake up in the night or in the morning and you remember that you had a song. You go back. If you want to write it out, write it out and follow the lyrics of that song. That God is speaking to you about the season or what is to come. Hallelujah. And this is very important. You don't learn this song. It's given to you by God and the Holy Spirit. And this is very, very practical. We need to come to that place where once in a while, depending on the second situation, God gives us a song in the night. Amen. It becomes a sort of encouragement. You'll be able to know, apart from that ministering to you that have a relationship with God and God consider your situation, is telling you there is something that God wants to do. Depending on the lyrics of that song, it's very important. And that become very prophetic. That's why I keep telling you, you can be a prophet of yourself. Amen? You can be a prophet of yourself. When I say this, sometimes some of you get confused about it. But let me show you something. Deuteronomy chapter 13, look at verse 1. Let's read that. We'll come back here.
Then he said, if there arise among you, thank you, Jesus, a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and give thee a sign or a wonder, just read it down, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, wherefore he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods. Now notice this. We that have not known, and let us serve them. What's the next thing that happened? Verse 3. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or the dreamer of dream, for the Lord your God proveth you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Amen. And this thing will indicate to us that the fulfillment of a prophecy doesn't mean, I mean, it's not that we use, okay, if it's a false prophet, then the prophecy will not come to pass. If it's a good prophet, the prophecy will come to pass. No, it all depends. Even if the prophecy comes to pass, okay, what they told you came to pass, but now they directed you from trusting the Lord to something else. He said, God just allow you to have that dream, or that prophet just spoke that to you to test your heart whether you can trust the Lord with all your soul. So, no matter what happened, no matter the prophecy that comes, a few days ago, I was speaking to one of my cousins and was telling me how a pastor told him that the senior brother was going to die. I said, how did he come to that conclusion? You know, you can't even say anything very special about that. Right? Then I told him, it's not everything people speak to you about that you're going to believe. And right there was trying to tell me what they must do. Which is not say, okay, let's pray about it. But there are things that he wanted to do. Hallelujah. Which is out of the scriptures, which is out of the mind of God. That is not the word of the Lord. Amen. So now, when I say you can be a prophet of yourself, it comes to the point, if you have a dreamer of dream, you can see that a dreamer of dream or a prophet, both of them are on the same platform. Are you getting that? And that's why you see that Joseph was called a dreamer. Joseph the dreamer. So what was that? Through the dream of Joseph, he knew that the father, the mother, and the 11 brothers are going to bow down to him. So through dreams, you can know your vision. Hallelujah. So that's why I said, if you have a dream and the Lord gives you a song in a dream, all you need to do that season, study that song, be sensitive, be designing, begin to understand. Hallelujah. Do not allow situation to becloud the intent of that song that the Lord is giving to you for that season. There must be something God wants you to walk with, walk on, and to believe into. Praise the living God. Are we here? All right. Let's go back to that Revelation 40 verse number 3, Amplified Translation. You know, verse 2 here, we talk about the harps that are happening with the harps. Amen? And what I need to make you see here again is this. This song is a new song. Amen? They sang a new song. It's not an old song. And that is directly connected to the fact that Moses had a song. You can find it in Exodus 15. Amen. Miriam took the song of Moses. So there is a song of Moses that is a song of the Lamb. That's why it's a new song. Amen. The song of Moses speaks of deliverance. The song of the Lamb speaks of redemption. Hallelujah. Come on, I want you to get that. Understand what I'm saying. Why is it a new song? Because there is the song of Moses and there is the song of the Lamb. And the song of Moses speaks of deliverance from Egypt. But the song of the Lamb speaks of redemption in the blood of the Lamb. So we're a new people with a new song. Hallelujah. So you find out the song follows the happening, and something must have happened that resulted in this group of people praising and worshiping God. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay. Go with me to the book of 1 Chronicles 15. What am I going to do? Okay, I mean, we'll not be able to read all of that, but you're supposed to look at, if you look chapter 15, 1 Chronicles, up to verse chapter 16, you'll be able to see what I'm trying to say, a little bit of that. In that context, you find that this group of worshippers followed the inauguration of a new era, and that of a king. If you look at that 1 Chronicles 15 and 16, that is when they inaugurated and bring King David to the throne. And you had harpers, you had people that came in singing, you got rejoicing, men brought food from all over. So it was the season and the moment of rejoicing. So the new song symbolizes the introduction of a new era, a new day dawning. And that's exactly what I said as compared to the song of Moses. Amen. Now you can read that for yourself at home. 1 Chronicles chapter 15 and chapter 16. We'll read all of that. You'll be able to see what I'm saying. That's when David was brought to the throne. And harpers were there, choristers, and people were singing all over the place. And you have the Levite. Here David appointed the Levite as minister before the ark of God to commemorate, glorify, and praise the God of Israel. This eventually became their regular duty, in which occasions he composed songs of praises for these people that made for the fragment. Look at the book of, if you take time, you can look at Psalm 105. You can just look at Psalm 105. Let's look at something there very briefly. Psalm 105 is number one, if you want. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Now, this is a song he composed when this inauguration of a new city and a kingship took place. I'm trying to say, when you sing the song of the Lamb, which is a new song, it's a season of inauguration of a new season, the ordaining of the king. And now, like I said, David appointed choristers. And then he wrote songs for these people that they were singing. In fact, that's the beginning of what you have, what you call choir. Hallelujah. So, this chapter recounts the victory. Amen. It recounts the victory, the history of Israel from the patriarch Dan to the rising Canaan. Let us read it a little bit. Verse number 2. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye all of his wondrous works. Hallelujah. All right, verse 3. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that word, seek the Lord. Praise God. Now, you take time to, you know, go study this particular chapter and be able to see the heart of David when he begins to think about all that God have done. And this one talks about right from when he brought them out from Egypt, and now they come to the place of settlement in the land. He'd been installed as a king. They got their own temple. So he could reflect back and begin to say, man, let's think about the goodness of God, the works of God. And the same thing we read before in Colossians 1, 12, 13, up to 14. How God delivered you from the power of darkness and brought you into the kingdom of his dear son. So you can, once in a while, begin to think about your redemption, what God have done. This is the song of the 144,000. Amen. Right. So the whole of this chapter, let's take another verse there, verse 4. But the whole thing talking about from Egypt down to Canaan. That's what David wrote here. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. Amen. Right. Remember his marvelous works that he had done, his wonders and the judgment of his mouth, which is the word of mouth. O ye seed of Abraham, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen. And he said, he is the Lord our God. His judgment are in all the earth. Praise the living God. So David is just recounting history here with his song. And he wrote this song, gave it to the choirs. Go and sing
And let's rejoice and see what God has done. So this is the song of the redeemed. Amen. Okay. So he handed over all of this to the leaders and the singers, Asaph in particular, and his kinsmen. So the record says, let's quickly look at something here. 1 Chronicles 16, look at verse, let's read from verse 1 and 2, okay? If you have it, if you live in Bible or in NLT, if you have it on NLT, fine. NLT, right. They brought the ark of God and place it inside the special tent David had prepared for it. And they presented burnt offerings and peace offerings to God. When he has finished his sacrifice, David blessed the people in the name of the Lord. Then he gave to every man and woman in all Israel a loaf of bread and a cake of dates and a cake of raisin. And the Bible said, David appointed the following Levite to lead the people in worship before the ark of the Lord, to invoke his blessing, to give thanks, and to praise the Lord, the God of who? The God of Israel. That's the point. You see that? So here we find that the origin of the choir that you find in churches is actually what David started with. Praise the Lord. Look at the next verse, verse 5. Asaph, the leader of this group, sounded the cymbals. Second to him was Zechariah, followed by Jael, Shemiriah, Jael, Metatarach, Elab, Besaniah, Obed-Edom, and Jael. They played the harps and the lyre. These are choir people, choristers. But play the harp and the lyre, singing a song that David has composed. Amen. Praise the Lord. So they were to sing this song as composed or originated based on the victory the Lord has given them, showing forth his faithfulness. By implication, it was a song of a new beginning. Like now, they brought the ark first time into the temple. You see what I mean? Praise the living God. A song for a new beginning. So again, I need to remind you, if God gives you a song in the night, it's about something new for you. It's a new time, it's a new season. You got to pay close attention, again I repeat, to the lyrics of that song. Or if the Lord gives you, for instance, you're in a dream, you wake up in the night, you do not only sing a song, but you're giving a wristwatch. Just know that God is about to do something anew. A time has come. That's why I read in the book of Ecclesiastes and say there's time to born, there's time to die, there's time for everything. So once you have a wristwatch in your dream, that's a new thing is about to begin. That season, you have to be very, very careful. You have to be designing. You have to watch out so that if there is anything God is about to say, you should be able to pick it in the spirit and walk in consonance to the leading and instructions of God for that moment. Amen. Alright. So David started all of this, and we're talking about a new beginning. So again, we see that let's take this maybe final scriptures and then we can go. Okay. If you read out that passage, you're gonna see some things there. For instance, Joash, when Joash was crowned a king, the same group was singing, employed in the services. The Bible tells us then they brought out the little prince and placed the crown upon his head and handed him a copy of the Lord of God and proclaiming king. And a great shout went up, long live the king, Jehoiada, and his sons anointed him. Hallelujah. So, anytime something about to happen, anytime a new king comes into position, there's a song that comes up. There's a singing that takes place. Hallelujah. There's a rejoicing that goes on. And it's very, very important. Praise God. So look at 2 Chronicles, but it's a long reading. I'm going to close here. NLT, 2 Chronicles 23, 1 to 12. Talking about a new song. 2 Chronicles, are you there with me? chapter 23. Or you don't find it? Amen. Second Chronicles there. All right. 1 to 12. Very, very important. And in the seventh year, Jehoiada the king strengthened himself and took the captain of hundreds, Azariah the son of Jeroham, and Ishmael the son of Johanan, and Azariah the son of Obed, and Manasseh the son of Adiah. All these are supposed to be among the choristers. Go to verse 2. And they went about in Judah and gathered the Levites out of all the cities of Judah and the chief of the fathers of Israel, and they came to Jerusalem. And all the congregation made a covenant with the king in the house of God. And he said unto them, behold, the king's son shall reign as the Lord has said of the sons of David. Amen. All right. This is the thing that ye shall do. And the third part of you entering on the Sabbath of the priests of the Levite shall be porters of the doors. And the third part shall be at the king's house, and the third part at the gate of the foundation, and all the people shall be in the court of the house of the Lord. And verse 6 says, but let none come into the house of the Lord save the priest, and they that minister of the Levite, they shall go in, for they only, they are holy, but all the people shall keep the watch of the Lord. Amen. And then the next thing, and the Levite shall compass the king round about, every man with his weapon in his hand, and whosoever else cometh into the house, he shall be part stone to death. But ye with the king wherein he cometh in, and when he goeth out. So the Levite and all the Judah and all Judah did according to all that Jehoiada the priest has commanded, and took every man his men that were to come in on the Sabbath, and with theirs to where they go out on the Sabbath, for Jehoiada the priest dismissed not the curses. Now, you read all of those things, I'll be able to see what I'm trying to say. He come to the place where the trumpeters have to sing, where, you know, the choristers have to come up. Why? Because a new king is being installed. So I'm trying to emphasize again that in every situation where the king is being installed, a new season is coming to place. What happens is a song is given. Praise the living God. All right. So we can see now that a new song of the 144,000, right, that we're about to consider, that we're dealing with, proclaim the truth in the overcoming and the victory of God's people over the power of the enemy, as we are brought back to our home in Zion, and enthronement of King Jesus, the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. That taketh away the sin of the world. Praise the living God. So the reality of this new song is that a new day is dawning for God's people. And when once the Lord delivers you from the power of the enemy, he gives you an understanding of your freedom, and you should be able to walk in that liberty, in that dimension or place of power, glory, and victory at any point in time. The spirit of that mind, what I mean, the spirit of your mind in regard to your understanding of who you are in relation to the victory that Christ has purchased for you, must never depart from your mind. Anytime you walk it, whether you are in a place of work, whether in the home, wherever you find yourself, that spirit must not depart from your mind. That understanding should be there, that you got the victory in Christ. You should be singing a song of those who are redeemed, with the song of redemption. Not the song of deliverance, but the song of redemption. Amen. Understanding that we have been set free, who? In Christ. By Christ Jesus, the sins have been taken away. Redemption has come. So that understanding is what gives you victory anytime, anywhere you find yourself. Praise the living God. This is the song and the meaning of the harp.
that the 144,000 picked up in verse 2 and verse number 3. What is the hand for? It's a spirit of joy, spirit of rejoicing, spirit of a new season, spirit of a new day, a new song coming to you to declare you that you are free, declare to you that you are free, and the might and the power of God is working on your behalf. And the installation of the King Jesus. Like we're reading in 2 Chronicles, when the sun was installed, you begin to see people come, begin to guide and protect him. Everybody coming together. All those who are to sing the Levite, every one of them have to take up their position. And to sing to the praises of God, declare the victory that God had made available. And the protection that will be upon the life of that king. So when we come to this place of redeemed people, we are saying our king has been installed. And that's King Jesus. So we are acknowledging and recognizing the position of Jesus and how we relate to him on his throne, in the place of power, in the place of victory, in the place of dominion. This is the meaning of the song. This is the meaning of the harp. Praise the living God. So we as believers, where are we and what are we doing today? We're singing what? A new song. And don't forget this, there's a song of deliverance, but there's a song of redemption. Moses delivered the people, but Jesus redeemed the people. Can you get the difference? It's so important. So you must know what to sing part time. You must know when people are singing, you should be able to understand where they are. By implication, there are things you say, I will know what you're talking about. If all you say is deliverance, I will know they are still operating under the ministry of Moses. But when you start thinking about the song of redemption, I will know that you are an overcomer who understands what God has done, who knows exactly and walking in the power and the spirit of that redemptive purpose that is in Christ Jesus. Praise the living God. So most time, your words betray you. Your confession will tell us who you are. Are you following this? Right. Because you can either begin to confess the issue of deliverance, or you are confessing what? Redemption. The big difference between those who are deliverers and those who are redeemed. Again, I repeat, Moses delivered, Jesus redeemed. Amen? And so our walk and our talk is on the redemptive power and the victory that Jesus had made available. This is the new harp that we are carrying and we are proclaiming. Praise the living God. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to Dr. David Ogaga. We know you have been blessed by this station. You can share this message with your friends and loved ones. For more information, inquiries, and free downloads, please visit www.davidogaga.org. God bless you.